Hi, this is Perry, and you're listening to the Chemist Corner podcast for Tuesday, September 20th, 2011. Welcome to Chemist Corner. I'm your host, Perry Romanowski, a longtime cosmetic chemist who is dedicated to turning everyone he meets into scientists. Chemist Corner is a podcast about cosmetic science and is broadcast to help educate, entertain, and inspire current and future cosmetic chemists. The information and opinions discussed on Chemist Corner are those of the hosts and the guests alone. They do not necessarily reflect those of any past, present, or future employers. Well, it's been a little while since I've recorded, but I'm back, and I'm enjoying this beautiful fall weather. On today's program, we have an interview with Ron Robinson of BeautyStat.com. He has created one of the largest portals for beauty information on the web, and he started his career out as a cosmetic chemist. We're also going to talk about a couple of science stories in the news and answer some of the most common career questions we've been asked on this blog. It's a really packed show, so let's get started. Animal testing is in the news. According to an article in Cosmetics Design Europe, the European Commission, who reports to the European Parliament, has said that it will not be possible to meet the impending 2013 deadline for banning of all animal testing. In light of this fact, they are still looking at alternative scenarios, which means there might be a delay in the outright ban of animal testing of cosmetic products. The final decision will be announced at the end of this year. Now, currently, there are alternative methods for a variety of things that are normally determined with animal testing. These include tests for the identification of corrosive substance, skin irritants, severe eye irritants, skin phototoxicity, and even some skin penetration tests. Unfortunately, there aren't alternative methods for everything. The EC says the alternatives that are available have been validated enough to ensure the safety of cosmetic products. There are just a few more gaps that need to be filled in before a complete ban on the marketing of any cosmetic product that uses ingredients that have animal tested before March 2009. This is definitely a thing that a cosmetic chemist needs to keep an eye on. You will not be able to sell your products in Europe if you have used any ingredient that has been animal tested since 2009. So much for all those new raw materials that have been launched in the last 2 years. I feel kind of bad for cosmetic raw material suppliers because it's going to be really difficult for them to come up with anything new without being able to use animal testing. Until animal testing alternatives can completely replace current tests, there will be no new raw materials used in cosmetics in Europe. That's going to make it difficult for you as a cosmetic chemist to really innovate and create truly new products. I wonder if anyone will notice. Our next story was another interesting one I saw about a sunscreen coming from a pill. Scientists from King's College London are testing a new type of sunscreen that requires you to swallow it to get the benefits. They found a coral-derived compound that is an efficient screen against UV rays. According to the team, the research could eventually lead to the development of a pill that you eat to get long-lasting sun protection. Eventually, they will have to figure out the molecular structure of the compound and also a way to make it in the laboratory if they're going to launch the product on a large scale, but their initial studies have been promising. The reason they believe it could work in pill form is because fish that live around the coral reefs where they discovered the compound also seem to benefit from the UV sun protection. So fish that eat the stuff coming off of coral seem to not be as affected by UV light as fish that don't. This is interesting for a couple of reasons to cosmetic chemists. First, as a cosmetic scientist, you may now, or in the future, be competing with food chemists for the development of skincare products, in this case a sunscreen, but certainly the beauty from within trend is making it the development of more and more products that claim that if you eat a certain product, you're going to get improvements in your skin. This will be give you sun protection, which could be a huge competing product. People don't certainly like to put sunscreen on. The lotions, it's just a lot of effort, and you don't get the good applications. If you're not good at putting on, you could miss spots. And so I could see a pill really competing well against the current sunscreen products. The second thing is that the future of cosmetic chemistry may be moving more towards food supplements. There are not a lot of advances that can be made with standard topical applications, and the testing for new raw materials, as we're seeing, is becoming more and more difficult. In the United States, anyway, it's much easier to launch a food supplement product than it is to launch even a cosmetic. The food supplement makers are practically unregulated. In the future, you may have to be able to develop food supplements as well as topical treatments if you want to compete as a cosmetic formulator. This would be a whole new area of chemistry that you have to learn about, and you know, perhaps now is a good time to start. I know I'm going to. Cosmetic science career questions. One of the goals of Chemist Corner is to help people who are curious about the cosmetic industry learn how they could start their careers in cosmetics. That naturally attracts a number of questions which we have usually responded to via email. However, other people likely have similar questions, so we're going to talk about some of those questions and answer them right here. So let me start first. First question I got was, what kind of degree should I get? I really enjoy chemistry, but I'm not sure I would like to do it as a living for the rest of my life. What I'm really interested in is going into cosmetic sales. Would a chemistry degree be a good way to get into cosmetic sales? Or do most sales employees, you know, start with a business degree? Well, my answer to this is, if sales is what you really want to do, you'd probably be best served by getting a business degree first with a minor in chemistry. However, lots of cosmetic industry salespeople start out in the lab with chemistry degrees, then get an MBA and switch to sales. It really depends on what subjects you're interested most in college. I would go the science route, but I love science. But if the sales piece is really what you want to do, you'll probably do better getting a degree with a business degree. Question 2. What should my area of concentration be? This writer writes, I have decided to major in polymer and color chemistry, though only thing is, I do not know what concentration I should choose. There is an ACS certified science and operations and medical degree. I would like to concentrate in science and operations and attend grad school for cosmetic science. My question is, are my chances still good for getting into grad school with regular physics and calculus courses versus more advanced? I think that you would be fine following the science and operations route. If you really want to be a cosmetic chemist, you will not need to know as much of the math behind things. It is more important to know the characteristics of the chemicals that you're mixing together. That's the thing about being a cosmetic scientist. It's great to be trained as a chemist and know about organic reactions and know about physical chemistry. But when it comes to being a cosmetic chemist, the most important part of the job is to become familiar with the ingredients and to know what they do and to know what happens when you mix them together. This is really the kind of thing that you can get by actually studying the individual ingredients rather than studying any kind of theory. Question 3. What can you expect when starting a cosmetic science career? This person says, I'm going to study chemistry at the university in UK at the end of this year and have a lot of questions. What is the average salary? Do you get a chance to meet people like you would if you were working as a pharmacist? What is the most important factor for loving your job? And do you ever get the feeling that you could do more with your skills? How hard is it to get a job with a big company, for example, Estee Lauder? So let's start with those in a row. In the U.S., the average starting salary for a cosmetic chemist is probably around $35,000 a year, although that's probably higher in a lot of areas. If you're getting a job on the East Coast or the West Coast, the number might be higher, but average for the country, that's probably $35,000 to $40,000 a year. I don't know what that would be in the UK or around the world, but I'm assuming that's probably starting salary for most people. As far as getting interaction with the public, you don't get much interaction with the general public as a cosmetic chemist. Mostly you're in the lab, but you certainly get to meet a lot of people who work in the cosmetic industry, especially if you participate in places like the Society of Cosmetic Chemists and go to conferences. As far as loving a job, loving my job involves doing something I'm interested in. So feeling like I can make a difference and being able to make people happy. For me, cosmetic chemistry was able to satisfy all those. So I really believe cosmetic chemistry is a job that someone could love. As far as being able to do more with your skills, I certainly did think I could do more with my skills. The one problem that I had as a cosmetic formulator working for a big company is that what you did every day was kind of dictated by someone else. It could be your boss, it could be the marketing department, it could be the sales department, but you were more of a reactionary. And as a cosmetic chemist, I always felt like an inventor. And as an inventor, if you really want to get your ideas out to the general public, you have to do it pretty much on your own, or at least take the lead. So you have to do it through your own company. That's kind of why I started my own business, and that's why I really enjoy what I'm doing now. Now, as far as how hard is it to get a job in a big company, if a company like Estee Lauder or P&G is hiring, it's not too hard to get a job. Of course, you have to have a good resume, a degree, and you have to interview well. But when jobs are available, getting a job as a cosmetic chemist is not that difficult. And a last question, where are all the cosmetic science jobs? This person says, I'm currently in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and was working on high-end skincare products and loved it until I got laid off. Immediately, I realized it my opportunity to move and find a new job. So do you have any ideas for possible cities that are good areas to move in order to remain a cosmetic chemist? According to what I know, the places for finding jobs in cosmetic chemistry, Los Angeles is a great place, at least in the United States. Los Angeles, New Jersey and the New York area are also excellent places for cosmetic chemists. There seems to be a lot more jobs for cosmetic chemists in Utah, and there's also a fair amount of job availability in Ohio, and specifically in Cincinnati, where P&G is located, and Cal. You should also be able to find something in Florida or in the Southeast, but as far as jobs in other areas, some of them are going away. Like here in Chicago, we used to have a lot of job opportunities for cosmetic chemists, but the industry for the moment has gone away from our area, and it's just the nature of the industry. So the one area that's always stable is the East Coast, the New York, New Jersey area. That's the headquarters for a lot of cosmetic or raw material companies. So I hope that helps. If you have any career questions about cosmetic science, feel free to go to the website, chemistcorner.com, and you can either hit the Contact Us page and send in your question, or you can leave a question on the forums, which is you can get to right through the website there too.
Ron Robinson is a seasoned product development expert with over 20 years of experience creating innovative products. He has worked at companies like Avon, Revlon, Lancome, and Estee Lauder. He is currently the founder and CEO of BeautyStat.com, one of the leading beauty communities on the web. Welcome to the program, Ron.
Oh, thanks, Perry. Great to be here.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming on the program. I've been a follower of the BeautyStat page on Facebook for a little while, and when I learned that you were a cosmetic chemist, I was really intrigued because, you know, this is a different career path than most cosmetics chemists are going to take. So we wanted to hear a little bit about you and see how you ended up as the founder of a popular web portal. So first, how did you get started in the cosmetic industry?
Well, Perry, I totally fell into it. I actually studied pre-med. I was a chemistry and biology double major in college. And I had a little bit of family pressure to become a doctor. I have two other doctors in my family. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what else I wanted to do. So I followed my parents' directive, and I went to med school for a year and just realized it was not for me. I dropped out and came back home, sent out a lot of resumes, applied for a couple of chemist positions. And I went up to an interview, and you know, as I was driving up to the building, it happened to be the Estee Lauder building, or Estee Lauder Labs, and specifically the Clinique Laboratories, which is the one I started working as a chemist for over 20-something years ago. So that's how I fell into it. And I really loved it. I loved the ability to leverage my chemistry and science background, but also this idea of being able to create and make things. So that's what really appealed to me. And so again, completely fell into it.
Yeah, that's a common experience for a lot of cosmetic chemists, I'm finding.
Yep.
When you first started at that first job, were you a formulator right away, or did you break into QA and then get to the lab? How did that go?
Formulation immediately. And I began working on Clinique makeup products. So did that for a year, and then I moved into Clinique skincare.
Ah, so you got a nice range of formulation experience there.
Yes.
So you formulated for a while, but I see that you made your way kind of into management out of the lab. And how did that come about?
Yeah, I loved my time in the laboratory, you know, behind the bench, really developing and mixing and creating formulas there. But then I got a taste of being able to talk to consumers as a chemist talking to consumers, and I really love that aspect. So I, after several years working as a formulating chemist, I transitioned to a new area called product development. And that is a group that liaises between the lab, the chemist, and marketing. So I became a concept creator, if you will. So I leveraged my science background, knowing what was capable, but also trying to tap into what the consumer really needed to make a great product and launch a great product to the market.
So that required you to go to a lot of focus groups and that sort of thing?
Definitely. So I became, I guess there's been this overriding thing with me wanting to get closer to the consumer and really trying to understand what her needs are and how can I create things to help her make better beauty purchases.
That's great. Now, in your capacity as a product development person, what do you like most about that aspect of your job?
I love being able to create. I'm a creative person, and there's something really fulfilling about having an idea, being able to create a strategy of how you're going to actually make this or turn this into something, and actually see it in the market, see it on the shelf, see it being sold, see it being used, see it being mentioned that that's a great product, or it's someone's favorite product. That's really exciting for me. That's what's really fulfilling for me.
Yeah, that whole aspect of using chemistry to create something, I always like that part too. Now, the way that we discovered you, I guess, we didn't know each other, but just through the web, I saw you on the web, and I got curious because there aren't a lot of cosmetic chemists that you meet, you know, on the web. So how did you get involved with BeautyStat? And tell us a little bit about BeautyStat. What's kind of the business model and what do you guys do?
Sure. You know, a lot of people ask me, okay, so you've been developing beauty products for so long, and then you've made this transition, as you just mentioned. And I think there are a lot of things that cause that. First of all, I developed a lot of great products in my career, and a lot of them have been very successful. But when I really listened to what the consumer was telling me, she was really telling me that she was really confused and skeptical about a lot of the products in the marketplace. And I really felt like I was adding to the confusion. Sure, my products were really good, but the consumer may not have known that if they didn't try it. All she would have seen is that, oh, there's another product that I have to choose from and try to understand which one is for me. So I had that feeling going on. And then I saw this huge growth with what was going on online and in social media. And I said, you know what? People are connecting and they're sharing and exchanging with each other on these platforms. There needs to be a place in beauty where women could get that same type of exchange and connection, but in a world about beauty products. So that was my reasoning for creating BeautyStat. I wanted this platform where women could exchange beauty advice with each other, but also be able to connect with experts like me and my team that can really get unbiased, objective advice on beauty products.
Yeah, it's a great idea. Now, when did you start BeautyStat? Because I've just kind of noticed it within maybe the last year or so, but it seems like you've been around for a while.
Yes, we started in 2009, And it was a little bit slow for us. It was new. Obviously, it was a big change in it was big change for me. That first year was about learning. It was learning how to break through and be able to get recognized and get found on the web. So it took a year of really learning all of that. And then 2010, that's where we really started to see a lot of growth. We kind of put all the pieces of the puzzle together in terms of how to really get people to find us and how do we get our voice out there on the web. So you're right. In the past year is where we really saw tremendous growth and recognition for what we were doing. So,
well, it certainly is effective, and it looks like you've got a pretty good community there with a lot of active members.
Yeah, we're really excited about that. And this is a key thing for us, Perry at BeautyStat. We are about engagement. It's great that we're very knowledgeable and we could help the consumer, but it's all about them. It's all about them being able to ask questions, for them to share their beauty knowledge, and for them to help each other really navigate their way through this, often confusing beauty shopping experience. And again, we encourage that. We want them to share. We want to hear their opinion. It's about them and the brands. They need to hear this, and they need to understand where the consumer is, how they're feeling, and really build products that are really addressing their current needs.
Yeah, and I look at it from the standpoint of a cosmetic chemist and formulators, and I really think a site like yours, or even the beauty brand site that I do, where there's a community of people, of consumers telling you what they want, this is really a place that cosmetic chemists can go to get, ideas for new products.
I totally encourage it. I actually spoke at a you must be familiar with the Society of Cosmetic Chemists.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah, so they're a national, and they have obviously regional groups. I spoke at one of the regional groups last year to a room full of cosmetic chemists and cosmetic research executives, and I told them just that. I really told them that in their job, they really need to be able to be closer to the consumer, and it's a lot different these days because of the web. A cosmetic chemist could just, they could jump online and just listen and see what consumers are talking about. Back then, when I was on the bench, I didn't have that. I had my close network of friends, and that was the extent of my focus group. Now, cosmetic chemists, as you said, they can tap in and then come up with new ideas and present them to their senior management, marketing teams, etc., and say, listen, I have some evidence, I have proof that this is what consumers are saying, and that will help them develop better products. It's going to help their career, and I really encourage that. And I think since then, we've been able to develop a following of professionals who are tapping into us just for that reason, and we encourage it.
Yeah, well, keep up the great work. So what do you see next for BeautyStat? What is kind of your longer-term goals for this site?
We are about uncovering the truth and really just talking about the facts about beauty. There's a lot of myths out there, and we try to uncover that. And we want women to connect with us and connect with each other with BeautyStat. And that's in all, online is just one portion of that, but in real life, in real person, in real time, that's what we're about, and that's where we see us going in the future.
Well, that's great. And just a final question: you've kind of taken a unique career path as a cosmetic chemist. Do you have any advice for other cosmetic chemists who would either want to become formulators or maybe even end up doing what you're doing?
Yeah, I always tell a cosmetic chemist they've got to understand the consumer. That is who their ultimate customers. They have customers, or they have to build products that are going to please their senior management, etc. Once you understand the consumer, you cannot go wrong. It's a huge asset for you to understand her needs. It's going to help you be able to marry your scientific knowledge with actually building something that is truly answering a need. So that's my advice.
Oh, that's great. So the website is beautystat.com. And Ron, thanks for coming to the program. It was great to have you.
Thank you so much. I was really excited to be here. Thank you, Perry. Appreciate it.
Well, that's the end of today's show. I have a few announcements. I have some upcoming speaking engagements. If you are in the area, please stop by and say hello. First, I'll be speaking at the Midwest Technical Symposium on Thursday, October 13, 2011. This should be an excellent event. There's lots of great speakers, and it's going to be held in the Chicago area. Specifically, it will be held at the Westin Chicago Hotel in Itasca, Illinois. You can see MidwestSCC.org website for more information. It'll have information about how to sign up and more about the speakers. I'll also be speaking at the Southwest SCC meeting event in Dallas on October 20th, 2011. I've never been to Dallas, so I'm really looking forward to traveling to the new city and see what that's all about. In November, I've got a couple of events coming up, but I'll wait till then to announce it, but a couple of other speaking events. And so there's lots of traveling for me this year. Remember to like us on Facebook, and if you are on Twitter, be sure to follow us there. Our Twitter handle is Chemist Corner. Remember, you can still sign up for the complete cosmetic chemist training program by going to chemistcorner.com and clicking on the training program at the top right. Another thing is, if you haven't signed up for our Chemist Corner newsletter, you should do that now, because I've added a new thing where you get a free 4-lesson mini course, which gives you a great introduction to all the things you need to know about the cosmetic industry. This goes through some cosmetic jargon, so just the cosmetic industry itself, some things about formulating, and some things about the technology. So be sure to sign up. You can do that at the website and just put in your name and email address. Not to worry, we're not going to send you any spam, just information that cosmetic chemists will find useful. Well, that's all for our show today. Now, go make a difference.